that with that goal, we've been able to definitely make some good, solid decisions, and the Lord has just really kind of brought us back to Him. This song, this first song is called "I Have Returned to the God of My Childhood." Childhood to the same simple faith as a child I once knew, like the prodigal son. I've longed for my loved ones, for the comforts of home, and the God I grew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the prophet's Messiah, is Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned, I have returned to the God of my mother, the child of her heart, with unfailing faith. She said, bring them up when they are young, and when they're old, they will never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother, I did let him in, and I will easily lay a hand. I received him.
For the last several Sunday evenings, we've been sharing together, listening to God. And I want to caution us to be aware that in these Sunday evening sessions for the last several weeks, I've been seeking to widen our expanse and to understand ways of hearing God speak to our lives that are not in the ordinary pattern for the Christian. We are aware that in prayer, God speaks to us. We are aware that specifically in His Word, He gives instructions and direction to us. We are aware that God is not short in distance, nor is He incapable of speaking to us through every circumstance of our life. But tonight we continue in understanding how God may speak to our life as we desire to be attentive and listen to what He has to say to you and me. Tonight I want us to be aware that loving is listening, and listening is loving. And I turn to you and to the Scripture, if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now for this very reason also, apply diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, Christian love. It is important that we learn to listen to God. It is important that we understand that loving is listening, and listening is loving. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 5, we are made to be aware that the Holy Spirit is given to us. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 13, it is the Scripture that tells us, and Jesus says, how much more will our Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? We live in a world that is rather alone. I shared with us Wednesday night about the man who was riding down the highway in a motorcycle, And he didn't have a tie on. Now, I don't know how many times you've seen a man on a motorcycle with a tie on, but not very often. Occasionally, I see a business executive who's trying to save some money, and he's riding perhaps a moped or a motorbike, I'm not sure. But anyway, in traffic, you seldom wear a coat and tie. But this man was riding down the highway, and I shared Wednesday night that he had a shirt that happened to be open at the top, and in the midst of very heavy afternoon traffic on the way home around 5:15, a wasp or a yellow jacket happened to fly into his jacket and began to sting him. Now, you have to keep your cool when you're on a motorcycle, because you see, if you lose your nerve and you act frantic, everybody gets afraid. That's like a child on roller skates about to do this in the middle of a shopping mall. Everybody wants to get out of the way, they want to help a little bit, and want to be careful they don't get run over. And all these three feelings come at the same time. And so it is when a motorcyclist is in trouble and everybody's beginning to feel concerned for them, then they cause panic for everybody around. Not only do they have to protect their lives, but everybody else gets a little panic, and so it's like blowing the horn behind a lady who may have glasses about as thick as a Pepsi Cola bottle, and she's looking over the steering wheel this way. Don't ever blow the horn at a lady like that, or a gentleman either one. They'll run over you. But anyway, this guy was suffering alone. Because you see, as the yellow jacket was biting him and stinging him, he couldn't let on. And so very coolly and calmly, he steered the bike over to the edge of the road, and then he had a convulsion by himself. Sometimes we feel alone in the crowd. And sometimes our world is wrapped up in a loneliness that no one can quite understand where we're hurting and where our greatest predicament is. Sometimes we don't understand the person who's working alone in the crowd. There was a man in the supermarket parking lot who bumped into another person's automobile. And so immediately he got out his pen, immediately got out a pad, and everybody relaxed because they understood that he was writing to the recipient of the bump on the fender a little note. Certainly he was writing down his driver's license and information about the fact that he was insured and he could be contacted at a certain phone and address. But when the recipient of the bump on the fender came out and found the note, this is what it says. All these fools standing around here watching me think that I'm writing a note to give you information. Tough luck, this is it. Sometimes we feel alone in our crowd. Sometimes we feel like no one is really listening. No one really understands. No one really comprehends where we are. And the scripture says in all of our diligence that one of the things we need to do is to add to our life brotherly kindness, to add to our life a caring spirit. And I share with her tonight that listening is loving, and loving is listening. And God will speak to your life as you listen to those who are around you. There was a little guy who broke his mother's sugar bowl. It happened to be a bowl that was given to her by her great-grandmother. And yet, it was so precious, he went out in every effort to buy a substitute. He saved his money. He went to the store. He described as best he could what it looked like, and they began a search for that kind of bowl. It happened to be a very, very old bowl, and the little boy could not replace it. But when he brought in the very best substitute he could, his mother broke into tears. We all know how to give gifts, but we usually give people what we think we would like. We usually give people what we think we would want. As I used to say to my father when we went to the store, Mother loves bananas. Mother loves apples. Let's get Mother something like that. And so I would just simply say, Mother certainly would want what I would want. But when the little boy brought the gift to his mother, she burst into tears because he realized he had done his best. The substitute was not the same, but he did his best. You and I need to give our best to hearing, to caring, and listening. And if you want to give somebody some value, listen to them. For when you take time to sit in front of someone and give them your full attention, you're saying to them, first of all, I care. Secondly, you're valuable. You're worth something. Do you know that's what Jesus does for you and me? One of the greatest compliments that God has given to us is his attentive ear. Whenever you reach to the Father in prayer, whenever you turn to him in need, he is listening. We have the confidence that He hears us when we place our petitions before Him. And we need to understand that we must be the one who communicates. But also we must understand that God wants to communicate to us. Do you know why we don't hear God? We're not listening. In any relationship, whenever one person turns off the intensity of concern, the relationship dies. There's no way that one person can carry on a relationship. The very word denies the essence of what we're trying to say. It is a simple truth. It takes two to tango, pardon the phrase. But it takes two people to have a listening relationship. And whenever you're not listening to God and your ear is not turned to Him, you'll not hear Him. Why? Because though He may be desirous to speak to you, you're not hearing. And so I simply share with us, in our loneliness in this crowd, in the circumstance of you being bit by your own yellow jackets or wasps, and you trying to deal with your life, in the circumstance of you trying to even make the substitute of gifts back to those around you, we must be open to God and say to Him, God, I really want to hear what You have to say to me. Listening is loving. Notice what God did. God loved those people whom He could not respect. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to understand that God is listening to us even when we're at our worst. Now, how many times has someone said something about you and you became infuriated? That isn't so! And you fussed and you fumed and you've gloated around the room and you've stomped. And in the absence of this person, you even said some harsh words about them. How dare them have that to say about me? It isn't so. Well, wait just a moment. Suppose it isn't so. But you know, you and I both know that whatever is said, if it's not so, isn't half as bad as what is so. You want me to repeat that for you again? Whatever is said that isn't so isn't half as bad as what is so. God has loved us when we are at our worst. And loving is listening. I need to understand that when He is speaking to me, that I can be heard when I am at my worst, and He can speak to me when I am at my worst. In any relationship, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13, ask and I'll do for you that the Father may be glorified. In my listening to the Father, God will speak to me as others are listening to me. God will speak to my life as I'm hearing others and others are hearing me. Just as I said, in any relationship, it takes two. Whenever one cuts off the relationship dies. Whenever I turn my ear away from God, I cannot hear Him. He is speaking. He wants to communicate. But when I'm not ready to receive, then I cannot hear Him. Sometimes in a working relationship, sometimes in a sharing group, sometimes in any kind of close family communication, sometimes just in an honest friendship, we feel infringed upon. I've learned with the people with whom I work, I've learned to say and to speak just as I feel. And there's sometimes we're sitting in staff or sometimes we're sitting in a room and talking about something. I say, hey, I can't handle it today. I'm not ready for that. I am not emotionally ready to receive, to deal with this problem. I am not open to this. I do not know how to handle it. Put it on the shelf and wait a while. Now, that's a decent experience. I've had to learn how to do that. Sometimes in relationships where people are pressing you, sometimes in relationships where people are talking to you, sometimes in a work relationship, in your employment, you need to simply say, wait a minute. I don't want anybody to be upset, but you know, I feel hurting inside. I feel that I want to strike back. I feel somehow that I'm being encroached upon, that the weight's put on top of me. Wait a minute. Let me just tell you how I'm hurting right now. Then after it's all over with, we can all go back and we can start all over again. I've learned that that's one of the healthiest things in the world. Now, most people go through the process of close relation, close involvement, employment, whatever, big blow up and separation. I found that if you will simply express exactly where you're hurting, exactly where you're feeling, if you put it out all on the table, then you are able to deal with your frustrations as a human being, and that you can handle yourself. The other person can know that you're a human being that's hurting too, and then after it's all over with, you can start right back where you started. But you follow the pattern of your own experience. You follow the pattern of kindergarten and high school. You follow the pattern of working, and what is it? Intensity, hard labor, closeness, blow up, separation. Now, how often can you go through life like that? I mean, how many divorces can you have? How many times can you quit your job? How many times can you join another church? How many times can you build 5 years of friendship and lose it in 20 minutes? Now, you think about it. Just the conservation of energy, emotion, thought patterns, involvement. How many times can you afford to give up some? It's ridiculous, isn't it? What I'm simply saying is, loving is listening. And when we let God love us, we listen to Him when we are at our worst, and He will help us pick up the pieces. Listening to God when things are at their rottenest, rock bottom, and then saying, God, I hurt. I like what you're discovering inside of me. I'm angry at myself, but one thing I know is you're listening to me, and I'm hearing you. Oh, that's refreshing. That is exciting. God loves us when we are at our worst. God demonstrated His love toward us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then love where you're not respected. You know how the high school syndrome is. It's about a junior high level, 7th and 8th grade, where all strong friendships are built on a common hate of everybody else. We're close friends because we all dislike the same teacher. We all are beginning to hate our parents. And we all don't like this particular kind of person. And so we spend our time on the phone, the conversation. Oh, isn't it great? We all hate the same people. Well, the same kind of syndrome goes on among adults. I don't want to pick on the young guys and gals. The fact is, adults do the same way, that many times their strong friendships are simply on the basis of what they don't like about everybody else. And there are lots of churches that are founded that way. Lots of social groups are founded that way. Lots of organizations are founded that way. We're all alike because we all hate the same thing. Well, on that basis, then you don't love anybody who doesn't love you back. Well, now, Jesus said, love those that despitefully use you. Did He not? So what we're saying is we must understand that loving is listening, and listening is loving, and God loves even when He is not respected. And we're to listen to people whom we don't respect. And we're to listen to people when they don't respect us. Now that's an uncomfortable circumstance, but it is true. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. But you notice He said, if. He didn't say you had to. He didn't coerce. He didn't offer compulsion. He didn't compress you. He didn't constrict you. He did not draft you. He said, if. And so it is that Jesus made us totally aware that our relationship with Him is voluntary. And in Christ, I have the privilege of listening to people I cannot respect and listening to people who don't respect me. Now, that's a freedom. That's a freedom. I was sitting with someone the other night, and we were talking about a problem, and I said, now, you have the freedom to forgive them. You have the freedom for the first time in your life to turn loose of that circumstance and forgive them. That doesn't mean you're a grandiose soul, that you have great capacity. It means that because you have been forgiven, and to whom much is forgiven, we have the privilege of forgiving others. And if we know that what Christ has done for us, we can be free enough to turn loose and let somebody else have the same forgiveness. I love people who love to share. My granddaughter is sharing. Now, she will soon learn not to, but at this point, she's sharing. Everything is shared. It makes no difference what she's eating. Some of the stuff she eats, I cannot stomach, but she wants to share it with Granddad. And so sometimes I have to take a bite of some of that awful tasting stuff. And then sometimes I get it on some goodies. But I appreciate sharing. And so she puts something in her mouth, she wants to put it in my mouth. And I like that spirit. And I love people who've been forgiven, and they want everybody to be forgiven. They have the liberty and the freedom to share. Jesus said that if we will share, if we will give as we have been forgiven, if we will give others the same benefit, and so it is we can love when we're not respectable, when we are sinners, we can listen and we can hear and we can listen to God as He speaks to other people. And we can love and we can listen when we don't respect someone else's position, and when they don't respect us, we can hear. If God could use Balaam's ass to prophesy, He may use somebody you don't care for to speak to your heart. You know, sometimes we don't realize when God is knocking, when an angel unaware, and an angel unaware may not be a little waif on the street corner. It may be somebody you work with at work, or somebody who agitates you, rubs you the wrong way, but God is still speaking through that person to your life. God has something to offer to that life through them to you. Then the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. Listen carefully to this. It is very important that I know the difference between forgiveness and healing. I can be instantly forgiven and I can be healed in the process. But healing is the process of restoring relationships. It means putting things back together. And I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am healed in the community of God. When I find a person who's so theologically right but so fellowshippingly wrong, I have questions. Not questions about their salvation, but questions about their wholeness. My friends, it is no question in my mind tonight that you can be forgiven instantly by the blood of Jesus Christ for every sin you've ever committed, for every sin you will commit, and for every sin that could be even thought about in your life. But it is questionable in my heart whether or not we're all healed. I didn't say well healed. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the healing process, which is in the area of confession and being related to other people. It's important that you relate to the body of Christ. If your faith in Jesus Christ makes you an isolate and an island by yourself, there's something wrong with your healing process. Say it again. If your relationship with Christ makes you a loner and you cannot find a base, a broadening base with other Christians and a camaraderie in which you are united and you are building and a camaraderie in which your lives are linked together, there's something wrong with your healing process. Because he says, confess your faults one to another. And I believe it's important that we find in our life those individuals with whom we can deal honestly with where we're walking. I didn't say share the secrets of your life. I'm saying being honest with where you're walking. I think there's a healing process, because in this world that is isolating us from God, in this world in which a person feels alone and separated from God and feels alone and separated from the church, you know what the average person in this city thinks about you tonight? That you're some glorified bigot and we're sitting in here singing how great we are and how hellish everybody else is. And when people pass by and you see the parking lot full, they say, there's that bunch of bigots in there thinking how good they are. The world is turned away by the closeness that you may feel in Christ. And we must confess our faults one to another and be open, because the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, there's a healing process in which we're made whole. It has nothing to do with our relationship with Christ. We are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, and as we confess our sins, we are forgiven. But it is the fact that as we yield and we listen to one another, God is able to speak to us about being decent human beings. Add to your life brotherly kindness. Add to your life the wholeness of being put back together again. Add to your life the awareness that God wants to keep on cleansing your life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what? And to keep on cleansing our life. And that means being a part of the camaraderie of a listening fellowship, a caring group of people with whom I can share my life. And then I need to listen and love wherever redemption may reach. That simple verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means He loved those of different color than I, those of different background. He loved rednecks. He loved middle-class bigots. He loved Southerners, Westerners. He loved Chinese. He loved Mexican. He loved people who didn't speak the King's English. He loved people who went to Downey High School. He loved people who went to Beyer. He loved people who were different than we. And it is the fact that wherever love reaches, then I am to listen. The redemptive life is the call to love. And the need is an opportunity to love. We shared Wednesday evening, that many of us feel that at times the need out here in the community means that that's a calling. No, when I was saved, I was called to be a lover of humankind. When God saved my soul, He introduced me to the love of Christ and said, now participate in that love, move in that love. And it means that being saved is the call. And when there's a need out here, that's just an opportunity for the application of that call. Many of us are waiting for a special boom, a special chill down the spine, special instructions. We're saying, I don't feel led. Forget feeling being led. Do it. Your calling was in your redemption, not in seeing a need out here. And so wherever love reaches, it's a place to hear. Wherever love reaches, it's a place to listen. And wherever God has touched life, then it's an opportunity for us to care. Many a time we've said, Lord, I need patience. And you know what God does? He gives you big problems so you'll have to lean on Him for patience. But I found the greatest thing is to say, Lord, I'm impatient today. You know what I need to do? I need to take a few minutes and get alone by myself and to realize how much I'm loved. To me, the opposite of impatience is the awareness that God has been patient with me. If I can just understand how much God has put up with me and how much trivia that God has taken from my life and how much guff God has taken from me, if I can just realize His long-suffering with Jim Silvers, then I can begin to move outside of my life and be long-suffering with somebody else. Listening is loving, and loving is listening. And when we listen to others, we are able to let God speak through them about our predicament. Do you hear me? It's like the young man said, I'll believe the Bible and I'll believe God, but I won't believe you. My friends, many a time God speaks through His church. He speaks through His minister. He speaks through the Sunday school teacher. And we don't want to hear it because we're not accustomed to loving and listening. We're not accustomed to letting God speak to us through others. And what happens? I want to share with you two things. When we refuse to hear through this means of the communication of the body and the fellowship of believers, when we say I'm going to be an isolate, when we say, God, you speak to me when I'm praying, and God, you speak only when I'm reading the Bible, but God, you can't reach me through other people. When we say this, you know what happens? Two things, repression and depression. Repression is when I'm unwilling to face a maturing need in my life. And I keep putting to the background, and I keep saying I'm not going to bring this out front. I'm going to put it back. I'll wait till another day. And I want you to know that 25% of any gathered congregation on any average Sunday is dealing with a repression of communication that God has already given to them, and they're not wanting to act on it. How many times you walked out of the service says that was the dullest thing I ever felt with in my life? Too long? How many times you walked out, the choir stank, the preacher stank, the whole place was cold? And you said, I got nothing. Now listen, I've been preaching long enough to know that preachers can stink. And choirs don't always sound good. And sometimes a service may be longer than others. Didn't say it's too long, just longer than others. But I am also well aware that I have dealt with people long enough to know that many times a person shares with me, I finally came to the point of saying I was going to deal with this problem. Here it is December, and God's been speaking to me about this ever since last October. So you see, we have a year and 2 months of repression. And I want you to know, God doesn't go on to lesson two until you've learned lesson one. You get the message? God doesn't go on to lesson four until you've passed lesson three. And that brings repression in your life. Oh, you go out, you know, pretending everything's okay and hallelujah and saying things, going through the same old rigmarole, same old tradition, but there's nothing in your gut. The gospel's still real. The grace of God is still real. But your joy is not there. You're going through the actions. Now you wait long enough, you'll be able to see people and observe it. Now don't go around criticizing, just observe it. You don't always have the privilege of telling them what you see. But we are guilty of repression at any given time in our life. And all of you are guilty of it at one time in your life, have been, and some of you may be now. It is a byproduct of refusing to listen to God. Now, God sends a $1 million check to your house. Nothing wrong with that. But he sends it on the back of a Doberman in an envelope. And when you were a little boy, you had to get rabies shot because a Doberman bit you. And so when God sends a $1 million check with the Doberman, you say, no way am I going to reach for that envelope on the back of that Doberman. I don't want to come back with a nub for a hand. You say, now God, I appreciate you sending the $1 million check, but I want it delivered by a butler who arrives in a gold Cadillac. And that's the only way I'll get it. Do you realize God's been speaking to you and trying to get the message through to you, and he may have used a messenger you didn't like, and therefore you refuse the message? Is it any wonder that we do not always listen to God? Because we've already set up preconceived ideas that he has to follow, preconceived patterns that he must follow, and preconceived personages that he must use. My friends, God is in the business of touching us, not only that the message may get through, but the medium may change us. Many times we miss the message because we refuse the medium which he uses to carry the message. In my few short years with Christ, I've learned the second thing that happens when we refuse the message that God has given us. Not only do we become repressive, but we become depressed. I want you to know that Christians many times are more depressed than non-Christians. The Bible says, for him to know to do good and do it not, it is sin. And when God has a message for us and he's seeking to get through to us and we don't follow it, you know what God does? He withdraws his strength in our life. And that'll depress any Christian. If you want to be a little Samson and somebody holler the Philistines are upon you and you get up to fight them like you used to and you find somebody shaved your hair, you'll just do it once. You won't do it anymore. You don't want to even hear the word Philistines because you don't want the devil to whip you. You know what it is to fail. You've walked with Jesus. You know what it is to taste the glory of his victory. You know what it is to sense the exultation and the joy and the brilliance and the excitement of him working through your life. And you've tasted it, and you won't ever do it the other way, and it'll depress you. That's neither oppression from the devil. It is not demonic oppression from the devil. It is not being possessed by the devil. It's just downright depression. You're sick with yourself. You know that God is seeking to speak to your life, and you're refusing. The human will is a strong thing. Loving is listening. And listening is listening to the package and the medium and the communicator that God has chosen to speak to us, because the message and the medium have something to say. The message is also important, but God using the person in your life is a part of the community of God in which He changes us into the likeness of His Son. All of us know about Narcissus, that little freaky who used to look in the pond and was so enamored with himself that the Greeks wrote a little bit of mythology about it. But you can also be the same about those things in your life that you want to brag about. If it is easy to confess your faults one to another, it may not be confession. I'll repeat it. If it is easy to confess your faults one to another, it's not confession. It's an ego trip. And in the Christian body, we are encouraged to confess our faults one to another and to be healed. In the community of trust, I didn't see in a public gathering, I didn't see to get up and publicly to cry over a microphone the ugliest blight in your life. But I am saying to the operator that I am such a capacity that I'll listen to someone speak to my life. And when I listen to them and they have inroad into my life, I accept the message and I accept the medium, and I will share with them where I'm hurting and where I'm walking. If it is easy to do so, then it's not confession and there will be no healing. It's an ego trip. But if it comes with sacrifice, if it comes with an openness, if it comes with an awareness that God is using this to change me, it is confession. For you see, love is deliberate self-limitation. Love is deliberate self-limitation. Ask what you will, and I will do it, Jesus said in John 14:13, that my Father may be glorified. You honor someone when you hear them. And when you hear them, love is listening. And when you begin to hear, you tell them of the value of their life, because to give them your undivided attention and your unquestionable investment of time is to say to them, you are valuable. And when you give them that value, you open up your life for God to speak to you because you're hearing them. And the medium is the medium that God chooses to speak. The message comes from Him. To reject the medium or the person or the event is to reject the message of God. To reject the message is to bring upon your life repression, and God will not bring you to lesson 5 until you have heard and learned lesson 4. And in this repression, you will move to depression, because you know what it is to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ, to be confessed of and have your sin list short and your life vibrant and the Spirit of God moving. And when you refuse that message from God, repression sets in. And so out of it all, let us be honest. Who are you listening to today? Love is listening. Who has your ear? And to whom are you giving your undivided attention? Like little Jimmy Silvers, who went to the market with his daddy, let's get Mama some apples. Let's get Mama some bananas. Little Jimmy Silvers was blaming Mama's need in order to get what he wanted. Most of us are listening to people and are listening to those that we think we need, or they'll bless us, or we have an ulterior motive of wanting something. Jesus loved the unlovely. God commendeth love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus loved the unrespectable. Jesus loved when He was not respected. And Jesus loved when to the need The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world, He sent His love dispersed. And so I can afford, in Jesus, to listen to the message that comes to the unlovely, that comes from those not respected, even those I may not respect. I can afford to listen and love. And when I open up the medium for God to speak, the message may come through. I can repress it, I can be depressed by it, or I can receive it. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. Forgiveness is in God. But sharing in the community of God is opening up to listen from God and for the healing that comes. All the healing in Jesus. Tonight, are you a born-again Christian? Have you had a time and a moment in your life in which you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've turned your life over to Christ? If you have you professed it? Have you made it public? Have you let other people know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? If not, then tonight, why don't you make such a commitment? Why don't you honestly make such a decision known that others may know that you've given your life to Christ? Are you a Bible-believing Christian looking for a place to roll up your sleeve and go to work for Christ? Then you come on tonight. This is an opportunity for us to receive and say in fellowship, we affirm who you are and where you've come and where you've walked, and we want to join hands and hearts together that we can serve Jesus together. Thrones are so...